Hi guys, welcome to episode 29 of Color and Emotion. On today's episode, I'm going to be chatting about track number 6 on my recently released sophomore project entitled At Dusk, which is now available for streaming and download basically anywhere that you can listen to music. So I am thinking that this is going to be a fairly short episode. I would love for you guys to just listen to the song. And just take a look at the lyrics, which I'm going to put in the show notes. The lyrics are also under the comment section of this topic on YouTube. So like when you release something on YouTube, basically creates like a topic channel that has a playlist of the songs in the album. And I think, yeah, the comments are turned on. So I went under the comments and put the lyrics there as well. The lyrics are also on my Reddit thread. So, like I said, it's going to be pretty brief. I just wanted to read a couple of different passages from the epistles that the Apostle Peter wrote, in addition to a passage from Matthew 24, where Jesus is speaking to his audience, disciples, and collected others. Sorry, let me just find the lyrics. You would think that I would prepare. I just want to make sure that I don't overlook something. Okay, here we go. Unhurried love. So to start the song off, this is another one of those songs that was fun for me because of some of the vocabulary that I was able to input into the lyrics and it still be singable. But the song opens with saying like, what a time to be alive, what an antiquity to live. And that just stems from, I mean, you're all here, right? So it's what a time to be alive is something that I say often, whether it's like something good, like, oh, great, I can be on the other side of the continent within the same day. Or if it's something raggedy or something genuinely bad, you know, it's like, what a time to be alive. But that thought also expanded into the next line, which is what an antiquity to live. The word antiquity refers to like times long past. And so I was thinking about when I was writing this song, how even the present day that we live in will one day be as long ago as anything else, right? Like when we think of Bible times and it was like so long ago and all these like ancient societies, you know, even extra biblical societies, if you will. And at some point, this very day will be thousands of years ago, but we'll still have consciousness and awareness and God will still be God and his glory will be even brighter, even though we know he doesn't change, but there's something about like increasing revelation and brightness that is just really glorious. So that is the opening line of the song. And then the rest of it says, the king will scroll the sky with righteous judgment in his eye, but he has gifts still left to give. And so this whole first stanza, I guess, really kind of sets the tone for this song, but also I know I said this about a couple other tracks, but it is again the central idea of this whole album concept, which is that things are not going to be the way they are right now forever. And like the Bible gives different metaphors and imagery about this very big change in the planet and in the distinction between spirit realm and earthly things. And one of those images is the sky rolling back like a scroll. And the Bible also talks about like when Jesus came first in John 3, it says he didn't come initially to judge the world, but to save it. But when he comes back, this isn't specifically in John 3, but there are other passages that talk about like when he comes back, he will come back to judge the living and the dead. And in the meantime, though, he still is gracious. And so I'm going to read 2 Peter in a minute here, which is the passage that really hones that in for me personally. And I think will also be helpful to read for people who aren't super familiar with it. But I also was thinking about gifts, like, yes, grace and the gift of salvation. And that being like one of the main reasons that he tarries his coming. It's because he doesn't want anybody to not get it together, you know? But also, he is given the gifts of the Spirit in the church that, you know, those gifts are kind of talked about in different books of the Bible, like Corinthians. You see them in action in the book of Acts, which the book of Acts, a lot of times in the Bible will say the Acts of the Apostles, but really it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the church and through the apostles. And then I was also thinking about this passage in Matthew 24, which starting at verse 36, it says, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as it were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man." So even though that's kind of like demonstrating how people were kind of distracted by everyday life and weren't paying attention, heeding the call of salvation, there's also something to be said about like the goodness and the grace of God in like there's still being marriages and family and like eating and drinking and enjoyment of life, even as we come closer to the time where the Lord is returning. So in my song where I say he has gifts still left to give, that's kind of like the trifecta that I'm referring to, is like the gift of salvation, the gifts of the Holy Spirit at work in the body of Christ and therefore in the earth and in the world. And then the gifts of like marriage and community and enjoyment of life and art and food and all that kind of thing. So again, if you listen to the song, it's a very direct, bold song. And I think if you are familiar with some of the doctrines or narratives about what the end of the world could be like, and it sounds so dramatic to say that, but that is really, like I said, the whole concept of this song and this album is like, even if the world as we know it doesn't come to the end of an era, you're not going to be here forever. So at some point you kind of have to answer that piece for yourself as well. But I really am focusing on these ideas of the return of the Lord and what that looks like in these different events that the Bible like either alludes to or is explicit about. So anyway, that is like the first verse. The other passage that I wanted to read, I've got one in 1 Peter, which says, and I read this a couple of episodes ago, I think, if not the most recent one, 1 Peter 4, starting in verse 7. "The end of the world is coming soon." And this is the New Living Translation. "Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen." Amen indeed. So yeah, that kind of reiterates what I was saying about the gifts and everything and just the sober-mindedness that we're called to live with now that Christ has come and the redemption plan has been revealed. So I think I do actually want to touch on some of the rest of the actual lyrics here. So in the second verse, I say, "Would you fly away with the glorified decay, or would your body linger in the grave? The groom is drawing nigh to surprise his precious bride. Have you kept the faith?" So that idea comes from, again, a multitude of passages, but I think specifically Thessalonians, either 1st or 2nd Thessalonians. It talks about believers being caught up to meet the Lord in the sky. And again, people don't always agree on whether that's literal or not, what the timing of it is, but I love it either way. Like, I tend to think that it is what it says it is and what it seems to be. That's just kind of my personal conviction. And so just this idea of like what, you know, it's kind of a very, I guess what comes to mind is, like I said before, I am a millennial and I grew up in the 90s, and there was this very popular song that I loved that probably a lot of people don't. But who was it? Like Crystal Lewis, maybe? "People Get Ready, Jesus is Coming." That was my absolute jam. And this is like kind of my version of that, I guess. But just this idea of like paying attention to the condition of your spirit and soul, and like, what is your relationship with God like, and what would happen, and how do you understand the intersection of spirit, soul, and body? And what do these things mean to you that are in the Bible? Like, have you thought about them do you want to be in the family of God? Do you want to be invited to the wedding feast? Like, have you kept the faith? And honestly, what I realized about this album collection as I was in the process of recording and releasing it is I feel like it's actually more of an exhortation and encouragement to people who already know and have accepted the gospel to keep the faith. Because again, I love longevity and endurance. Like, I'm very passionate about the people of God keeping the faith. And as an artist, and specifically as a folk artist and a writer and a musician, I realized about myself that there is something in me that is very much a historian. And I don't tend to love academic spaces. Part of it is just like a little bit of laziness, but also like I don't like the politics and I don't like being bound to a specific syllabus or like time bound to like have to get a paper out or whatever else. But I do love history and paying attention to what happened before and what that means for what we're living in right now. And I feel like I am particularly equipped to see where things are going. Like, even at work, there's been different times where they've had me like come to these like business analyst meetings and I'm thinking to myself, I would not do this, right? But I work in an innovative organization and they like to try things. And as it turns out, I was right about basically everything. So it's just interesting to me that like the way that God has put me together and one of my giftings is to be able to notice patterns, but it's not the abstract sort of pattern, it's the historical cycles, because people are still and always people. And when you kind of acknowledge that, then I think sometimes it does prevent you from hubris and from avoidable pitfalls. But anyway, the point that I'm making right now is that even as you wrestle with these very like imperative and important questions, you have to do it from a posture of humility and with the end goal of keeping the faith, right? Like, obviously, if this is all trash, don't keep it. Don't believe it. Like, even the Bible says, like, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we're all foolish and wasting our time. But he did. So that's like the glorious thing about it, is that he totally rose from the dead. And therefore, we are saved from death, but also from the power of sin in the meantime. And that, again, is one of the gifts, is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to live pure, consecrated, holy lives. So that's what I am alluding to and getting at in the second verse. And then the end of the song basically just repeats this sort of like chorus refrain deal. So to wrap up this episode, I'm going to read all of chapter 3 from 2 Peter because it does such a better job of articulating the heart behind the song than I do. And again, it's where the lyrics came from to begin with. So why not just read it from the source? Amen. So 2 Peter chapter 3, English Standard Version. This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I'm writing to stir up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is this promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are awaiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. and count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do with other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Amen. All right, guys. So that is episode 29, Unhurried Love. The song and album are now available for streaming. So I hope that you will take a minute to go give the song a listen, and I will be back to chat to you soon. Okay, bye.